Good evening.
Good evening.
We're doing the mental equivalent, and we're going to be doing the mental equivalent the whole month of June. Now, here are some of the things we went over last week. The whole idea is you have to get a mental equivalent for anything that you want to bring into this reality. So, how do we get a mental equivalent? We build that up in our mind. We use our thoughts. We use our imagination. On the way here tonight, I ran into a bumper sticker, and this is what it said. Reality is for people who lack
imagination.
Reality is for people who lack imagination. You have to use your imagination. Metaphysics, all the way through metaphysics, you're going to be using your imagination. You see, you have to realize that this world that we live in is made up. And you are making up your world. You are making up your personal world, and you are participating in a world that collectively has been made up. So you can make up anything you want. So why don't you make up the right things for yourself? If what you see in your life isn't there, it's because you haven't made it up. You have to make it up in your mind. You have to make it up in your imagination. And when you make it up in your imagination, then it comes and lives among you. It drops down from your thoughts. Thoughts are, we call them thought forms, and that's what you have to think of them as. Here is a form, just like a concrete form. You make a form to pour concrete into. Your idea is a thought form. You get that idea, and you have to pour what into it? You have to pour this thing that we call God into it. You have to pour something into that so that it becomes heavy enough. So what do? You use your interest. You use your focus. And you use what we call feeling. And it's done with this warmth of feeling. It's done with your emotions. So you have to get involved with what you want. But you have to realize that you are making up the world. And you are making up your own world. And the reason why we're not getting what we want. Good evening. Come in. We just started.
Good. Hello.
Hello. There are mental equivalents on the table here for everyone.
Oh.
Did I tell you?
Yeah.
So we have to fill this form that we want. And what's the first form? The reason why we're not getting what we want is because we've never changed our mind about who we are. You have to first change your mind about who you are. And what did we say last week? Know that ye are gods. Know that each and every one is a god or a goddess. You have to start believing this. You have to start doing this for your own self. So that you can change this inner thing that's going on, this inner belief system that you have. Because we want no separation going on. We want you to be able to know in your mind that you have the power, that you have the same power as God, that you can create. If you know that everything is God, and you are all that God is, then you have to have those same qualities, that same ability to be able to create. Now you have to know that you're creating your own reality. Once you know that you're creating your own reality, then you realize that nothing is being done to you. You are creating everything that's being done. You are the one that's creating it. So once you realize that, that sets you free. There is your freedom, because now you can no longer sit around on the pity pot. You can no longer think that you're a victim of any type. Now, when you look around and you think that you're a victim and so forth, now we don't go in to shame and guilt and all that stuff. We look at it and we take responsibility and we say, oh, I know how to change that. I'm a creative person. I can use my mind to change this. And then you start to change. You start to change what you don't want in your life. But what you do is you concentrate on what you don't want. And you concentrate on that appearance that's in front of you. And when you do that, you're breathing life into it. When you breathe life into it, it stays around. You must take your interest away from that. The situation that the economy is in right now is merely a thought atmosphere. There's no such thing as the economy. Doesn't matter what's going on out there. That's all made up. And we call it, oh, look what's going on. That's our economy going up and down. It's not your economy going up and down. It's your thought atmospheres that are going up and down. It's what you are thinking at the present moment. You're thinking, oh, gas is very high. This is going on. That's going on. How am I ever going to make it? Oh, things are always getting worse in this world. Boy, you never can make enough money to stay ahead. And you start concentrating on those thought atmospheres. And you get more of those thought atmospheres. So you have to come back and you have to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm the one that's creating my reality. Oh, yes, there's an appearance that gas is high. There's an appearance that the economy is off. But that is not in my universe. That's in somebody else's universe. And then you start to make your universe the way you want it, and you make that universe have the rules that you want it. You see, if you know that you're a creator and you can create your own reality, then you have to create the rules for that reality. You see, you can't create the rules and have create a reality and have my rules or the world's rules. You see, if your reality is working with what race mind has, then that's all it's ever going to be. But once you create a reality and you say, oh, here are the rules that I am playing by, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that, because the universe looks and says, oh, look, they want to play that game, I'll play it with them. That's all God is doing. That's all the universe is doing. It's that whole idea of ask and I'll give it to you. God doesn't say, oh, no, you don't want that. You start to play a game and God says, oh, interesting game. I'll play that game with you. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to play my game. My game is my game. So get your own game and make up your own rules to that game. You say, in my reality, here's what happens. So, I build a reality. And I do not allow the economy to ever affect my reality. I watched that. It's just an appearance as things go up and down. My lifestyle stays exactly the same. My lifestyle stays exactly the same. You must always look at what's behind something. What we do is we focus. If you look at the sky, you start to see the clouds. And you say, oh, that cloud's interesting. I love that cloud. Oh, this is that, not love. You don't look at the clouds. You look at the blue sky behind the clouds, because the blue sky behind the clouds never changes. Clouds change. The blue sky never changes. So right now you're looking at a cloud going by, and you think, oh, that cloud is here. Meaning high prices, meaning this, that, and the other thing. Behind that, you have to know what? I live in an abundant universe. I live in a prosperous universe. And in my universe, this is what happens. If prices go up, enough money comes in to pay that, because all my needs are always met. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. This is the way you build your own reality. But you allow your mind to convince you otherwise, because, as I always say, the world is so convincing. And you turn on that idiot tube that tells you constantly the world is going to hell in a handbasket. They've been saying that since day one, people. And the world still has not gone to hell in a handbasket. And it will not go to hell in a handbasket. So when you're starting out in this, start to see yourself as a creative person. If you cannot bring your mind to accept the fact that you are on the same par as God, that you are equal with God, that you have the same creative abilities of God, then start at another level. Say, oh, I'm a child of God. And therefore I must have inherited something from that Father. And this is what I think I can hear. You see. But if you think that you're not connected to the universe, you're not connected to this thing called God, how are you ever going to create anything? How are you ever going to do? Now, what has happened, the lie that has started, is that first of all, you're always thinking you're doing something wrong. You always think you made a mistake somewhere. You must realize that you cannot make a mistake. You must forgive yourself if you think those thoughts about yourself. You must always hold yourself in the highest of esteem. You must see yourself as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that you matter. That is what you must do. Close your eyes, please. I want you to see yourself in a stadium. And you're standing there by yourself in that stadium. And as you stand there in that stadium, right in the very center, you feel all this energy around you, 360 degrees. And you start to hear all this applause. And that applause starts to filter in to every fiber of your being. And you suddenly realize, oh my goodness, that applause is for me. It's for me. And it makes you feel so good. And you start to feel worthy and deserving, totally lovable, one that you matter. And then you look up and you see that whole stadium is filled with angels. And you look around and there's just one angel after the other applauding you, looking down on you. And you suddenly realize how important you are. Feel that. See that. Let that filter in. So that you know that here you are in the middle of this stadium. And all these angels have come there to honor you. To honor you. Because they realize that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. They also realize that you are one with this thing called God and that you are creative. And they are applauding you because of your creativity, because of your potential to be able to create. And they know that that is possible. And now you must know it. So you allow that applause, that admiration, that esteem to flow over you, to flow through you. You realize that you have heard the truth. You are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Slowly open your eyes. Let's stand up and do the matter thing.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay. So in the first chapter, Andy tells me there's four chapters here, I never knew them. But in the first chapter last week, Emmett Fox said one of the main things that people want is a feeling about God, is to know their oneness with God. I don't know if that's true or that's not true, but we're certainly always trying to find something to rely on, something that we can count on. And that's what you want to do with this thing we call God. You want to start to believe this. You know, it really does exist. And then you have to realize, But even before I ask, it is given unto me. And then you must start to ask for what you want. But you have to have an idea. You have to have this mental equivalent. And the first mental equivalent you want is the mental equivalent of God. How does God operate in your universe? You're the one who decides that. The church doesn't decide that. It's done a miserable job over the years of doing that. A miserable job. And it's told you one lie after the other. You see. Anyone who tells you that they know God, they only know God personally. They have no idea what God really is. I have no idea what God really is. I know that I can use this thing that I call God. And I know that this thing called God also operates through the law of attraction. These things I know. Other than that, I don't know God. But I trust God, and each day I try to find out something a little more about God. How do I go about that? By learning a little bit more about me. About me. How am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? How can I change this? I work on myself. The highest form of worship you can give God is to learn to love yourself. To learn to love the creation itself. You have often heard me say, you are always cause unto your own experience. You have also heard me say, you must be responsible for your actions and your reactions. I would like Andy now to tell an aha moment that he finally had with the idea that you're responsible for your actions and your reactions.
I had an aha moment about about a week ago Friday. I was a little bit down, and I remember what Dallas had said in class about us being 100% responsible for not only our actions, but our reactions. And I realized that at that moment that my emotions are a reaction. And so even when I'm depressed, I'm responsible for that.
And that's not only an aha moment. I hope that everyone grasps that. That's what that means, that you're responsible for your actions and your reactions. You have to realize that you are always cause onto your own experience. Why is that? Here again, I'm going to tell you the answer. But you have to remember this one. We live in a mental world. Every minute of every day you have to tell yourself you live in a mental world. I am making this up. I am making this up. I am making this class up. Well, you have to know that. The other thing you have to know is there's only you. No one else out there. There's only you. When you see other things and other people, it's because there's some reflection going on inside of you. But you're some aspect of that person that you see. You're some aspect of what you're seeing. Only one thing to work with: yourself. This is where we get into trouble when we want to change somebody else. You can never change anything on the outside of life. You can only change something on the inside of life, meaning you can only change yourself. So you have to learn to change your beliefs, your attitudes, your opinions, and your viewpoints of what you think the world is. Ron Paul, he doesn't start till 8 o'clock, but you can join us if you wish.
What do you represent?
I'm representing a metaphysical teaching, prosperity and abundance, including money. And we talk a great deal about God.
We talk a great deal about what?
God.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That's good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Have a chair.
But this is the room that they're going to be in.
At 8 o'clock.
I didn't really thought they said 7:30.
Well, no, it's 8 o'clock. But sit down. All right.
We can exchange things, by the way.
Oh, good. All right. So, it's a mental world we live in. And Andy, with that little thing, figured that out. And his mind came to that conclusion that he is responsible. You see, the world would like to tell you that something else is responsible. And you would love to know that. You may live in that universe and you may live in that world if you want. But if you live in that world, you're going to be topsy-turvy all the time because something else is doing it to you. When something else is doing it to you, you think your parents are doing it to you, you think your drinking is doing it to you, whatever. Nothing is doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself. You're creating your own reality. And we would love to think that it's something else, but it's not. So, the mental equivalent. Build a mental equivalent of what you want. The first mental equivalent is get an idea of what you think God is and how God is going to be useful to you. It's true that God is mighty, but God is also useful. And if you cannot use God, there's no sense to having a God. We know that that doesn't work. For 2,000 years, people have worshipped God, and the world is in the exact same state that it's always been in. Why is it in that state? Because people do not realize that they live in a mental world, that they are causing everything that's happening in this world. Once you realize that, you can change that. It's done with your mind, and it's done by forming a mental equivalent, a mold, a form for your mind to fill. So change your mind about yourself. Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And then learn to use this thing called the mental equivalent. Things will not come into your life without a mental equivalent. And you think, oh, well, this dropped in, that dropped in. Yes, willy-nilly things will drop in. But is that what you want? Wouldn't you like to know that the right things are always dropping into your life? How do you think you would start that process? You'd have to know in your own mind that you're always in the right place, doing the right thing, saying the right thing. That there is something behind this. This thing called God is guiding you. But those angels you just saw are always present and ready to help you. What's the sense of bringing up a thought form? Now, angels could be real, they could not be real. Doesn't matter. It's what you think that matters. I happen to think they're real. I love the idea that they're real. And then I bring them here to help me. You see, you have to realize that we live, move, and have our being in the one mind. There is only one mind. There's not my mind and God's mind. There's not my mind and Rose's mind. The reason why I know what you're thinking and the way you're thinking is because my mind works the same way as yours, because I'm using that one mind, the mind of God. And then you have to realize if you're using the mind of God, everything is already done. You see, everything is already done in the mind of God. That's why, before you ask, it is done. It's already done. You have to know that. So how are you visualizing this thing when I say you live, move, and have your being in the mind of God? What are you thinking? What mental equipment have you made for that one? See, I can see all that. I love this one. When I go, oh, look at that. Pigeons are flying through God's mind. Where else do you think those pigeons are flying? You know, when you see pigeons fly outside, where do you think they're flying? If there's only the mind of God, if there's only God there, they have to be flying through the mind of God. It's all contained in there. Everything is contained in there. See, the whole idea is to stretch your consciousness, to stretch your idea of who you are and what's going on around you. But you allowed yourself to become limited because of your upbringing, because of your education, and certainly because of the doctrine, the religious doctrine, that you were born into. There's nothing wrong with that. People are very proud. I'm a Jew. I'm a this. I'm a that. But of course, as soon as you do that, you've just separated yourself. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But you have to say, oh, how am I thinking here? Or am I getting a hand-me-down thought from somebody else? You see, you allow other people to do your thinking for you. You must learn to think for yourself. Use that individualized mind of God that you have within you to think for yourself. Once you learn to think for yourself, you can make up your own reality. Then you can make up the rules that go with that reality. But as long as you let your mind draw you back to, oh yes, what I heard in Sunday school. Oh, my minister told me this. Oh, I did this, I read that. I read all the time. And I take all the good that I can get from it. And I build upon that good and I turn it around and I change it till it fits my universe. Till it fits my reality. This is what you must do. You must build your own reality, your own life. But you allow the world to do your thinking for you. You see, we're brainwashed constantly. Brainwashed constantly. Every advertisement you see is brainwashing. Every advertisement that you see is brainwashing. And they keep hammering at it and hammering at it and hammering at it. So you start to believe, oh, that's the way the world is. That's the way the world is. People still believe in sickness. No such thing as sickness. That's a thought form. Merely a thought form. You don't have to have that thought form. You can change it. If you want that in your universe, if you want that in your reality, please feel free to keep it. But you have to say to yourself, what or how are my thoughts servicing me? All done with controlling your thinking. What am I thinking about? Am I thinking that I'm always worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter? Am I thinking that I will always have the right answer? That I will always be taken care of? That this thing that I call God loves me so much that it would never allow me to sink into poverty? That it would never allow me to not have abundance and prosperity all the days of my life? That it would not keep me healthy and fit? You have to just, what? This is building a mental equivalent. So build a mental equivalent first of this thing called God. And then build on that. Use that as your foundation for what's going on. If you want to manifest something, and you want to manifest, say, money, but you have a belief that money is scarce, how are you going to manifest money? If you believe that money doesn't grow on trees, how are you going to manifest money? If you believe that money always slips through your fingers, how are you going to manifest money? And then you have to say, oh, where did I get these thoughts? Who gave me these thoughts? Are they your thoughts or did somebody give them to you? The answer is usually going to be somebody gave them to you. And it's usually going to be your parents. And that's not to put your parents down in any way. But you have to say, oh, that was their thought, not my thought. Here's my thought. Here's my thought. And then build that thought that money's always freely circulating in your life and that you always have a divine surplus. And then start to see that. Start to see that money coming to you. Visualize that money coming to you. Close your eyes a moment. See a balloon, a great big balloon, enormous balloon above your head. Now there's a string in front of that balloon. You're going to reach up and pull that balloon, pull the string. You pull the string, and oh, that balloon opens up and there's just money coming down, 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 down. Just, oh my goodness, just flowing down over you, just flowing down over you, just flowing down over you. This is how you build a mental equivalent. Then you're getting low on money. You say, oh, I'm just going to pull that string. Just going to pull that string. How many people believe that you have a cosmic bank account? And that bank account pays compounded interest. You have to start believing and doing. Once again, what are we doing? We're using our imagination. We're using our imagination. The most powerful gift that you were given is your imagination. Learn to use it. Learn to cultivate it. And don't allow your mind to poo-poo it all the time. How many people here realize now that you're not your mind? You have to realize that you're not your mind. And then that left part of your brain only knows 5%. You're only using 5% of that. And it doesn't know much. But your right side of the brain knows everything. Knows everything. You just never go there. You just never go there because you're not taught to use that side of your brain. Close your eyes a moment. See yourself on the left side of your brain. See your brain. See the two hemispheres. See that crack right down the center. Walk over to that crack and look down and say, oh my God, isn't that deep? Looks like Grand Canyon. How am I ever going to get to the other side? Whoops. If I go use my imagination, I'm going to build a bridge across there. Build a bridge. Can be brick. Can be wood. Can be a suspension bridge. Any type of bridge you want to build. Now with your bridge built, walk across to the other side and look around over there. And say, oh my goodness, look, here's areas I never even knew I had. No, look at that. I never saw that before. Isn't that wonderful? I think I'll use that from now on. I think I'll use, oh look, didn't know that. That's the way you use your mind. That's the way you use your mind. How many people are familiar with the gift has already been given? The gift has already been given. It's your mind. You have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to use it. You have to learn how to see differently. So learn to open up your whole brain. Learn to use that. But then realize also that's not all there is. If you want to find, if you want to build a mental equivalent, you have to do it with thought and you have to do it with feeling. And you have to do it with what we call warmth of feeling. And warmth of feeling comes from the heart. So you have to be able to drop down to the heart. How are we going to drop down to the heart? Let's close our eyes a moment. Now look out with your closed eyes. Now allow your eyeballs to sink very deep back into your head. Now allow your eyeballs to drop down and drop down and drop down. So now they're in the heart. Now look out from your heart and see if things don't look a little differently. If things don't look a little differently from there. When you want to manifest anything, use that technique, drop down. Drop down to your heart and start to feel. If you look out, start to feel, start to see things differently. Done with the heart, done with feelings. So you're going to say to yourself, how would I feel if I had what I wanted? And then start to manufacture that feeling. To manufacture that feeling. Remember, the whole idea is to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and to feel the feelings that you want to feel. When you can get the feeling of what you want, you will have it. You will have it. To be surrounded by things that you desire, be enveloped by the joy as if your prayers have already been answered. To be surrounded by the things that you desire, be enveloped by the joy as if your prayer have already been answered. So get your mental equivalent, know that it's already done in mind, and then set in joy and gratitude that it is done. That it is done. Last week I told you that all things are done in mind, that these thought forms that you have, these desires that you want, anything that you want, is already here. But now you must make it heavy enough to drop down into this plane of action. And you make it heavy enough by sitting in joy and gratitude. And that's much more, by the way, than acting as if, or pretending, or faking it till you make it. I'll explain that to you in a minute. We have gratitude and appreciation for the healing that's already occurred. Already occurred, the appreciation that it's already done, and the gratitude and the joy that it's already done. You come from that place always. You sit in that That is your warmth of feeling. That is using your feelings to manifest something. But you're waiting till it gets here before you're going to start to feel something about it. You have to start to feel first. You have to start to feel first. So when something happens that we like to change, if we can move away from judging it, we will be using the language of the heart. That is why we drop down into the heart, so that we no longer judge. The heart never judges people. It's your mind that judges constantly. And what is the main thing that your mind judges all the time? Judges you. Why does it judge you? Because you're the only person that's there. You may say, oh, I don't like that person. You just judged yourself. Your mind does not know the difference. If you drop to your heart, the heart never judges. The heart never judges you. You see, that is what has happened to us since day one. We have lived in a thought atmosphere that was set up, and you've all heard it. You were born into sin. You were born into sin. And now you think there's something wrong with you. Now you think you're bad and evil and all this kind of stuff. And you keep trying to do something. Well, if I get more money, that'll cover that up. Well, if I love somebody more, that'll cover that up. Well, if I get more education, that'll cover that up. It's not going to cover it up. You have to change that thought and know that that was a lie that was told to you. You cannot have a God that would create you in sin. If you think God is perfection, perfection can only make perfection, can only create perfection. You think a perfect God can create something that's imperfect? No, it cannot. It cannot. It cannot create something that's imperfect. I was at a seminar for 4 days, the most amazing people. It was a seminar on healing, which is the main thing that I'm always interested in. And it was called Matrix Energetics. And it has to do with quantum physics. But I was held by a doctor. He has a child that has Down syndrome and also is autistic. He showed us pictures. The child is absolutely gorgeous. And he said, you think people are trying to fix her. There's nothing wrong with her whatsoever. She prefers not to talk. She can talk, but she prefers not to because she can do things telepathically. And she can think so much, she sees things so much differently than we do. But she must learn to see things differently. Now, most people will say, oh, isn't that awful? How could God create something like that? No mistake. Child was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. There's no mistake. We judge. We think, oh, something must be wrong there. That girl was filled with joy. Why was she filled with joy? Because she knew who she was. She knew who she was. She knew that she was worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that she mattered. And she didn't bother with what other people thought. It didn't bother her at all. Oh, you don't talk. Oh, you look a little strange. It didn't bother her. Learn to see things differently. Learn to see things differently. The world is changing. The thought atmosphere in this world is changing. Things are going to change rapidly. And you have to learn to see why that is happening. You have to change your mind about why and how things really are. With all the wonderful things that we know, and we know very little, by the way. We think we know a lot. We know very little. But we know enough to be able to change the way things are now. One of the things that we learn and are learning all the time is everything is energy. We're all connected. And everything is vibrating. And there's waves going on all over the place. And you can learn to change those waves. You can learn to change yourself by knowing that you're more than what you think you are. But you still think that you're a human being. You still think that this body is real. Your body's not real. It's a platform that you made up. The thought form that you made up. You want to know how powerful you are and how you can create. Decide to change your body. Changing your body is the easiest thing that you can do. Once you learn that you can change your body, now you know that you can create. If you can change your body, you can change anything. And the body is the easiest thing in the world to change. It will always comply to you. The body has no causation of its own. Body has no causation of its own. If your body had causation, your legs get up and walk away from you. They don't do that, do they? Your body listens to you. But you're told that that isn't true. That your body's against you. Your body's not against you. Your body's always for you. Every organ in your body is working for you. You want to see harmony. You want to see peace. You want to see cooperation. Look how your body functions. You think your intestinal tract says, oh, I don't think I'm going to do anything. I hate the heart. I'm going to get back at the heart. You know, I'm not too proud of that liver either. I don't want that. No. Perfect peace and harmony is inside of you. Go in there. Find that. Find that peace and harmony. Think that these are the ways you change your mind. This is how you change your mind about things. This is how you learn to see things differently. Wasn't it the master teacher, Jesus, who said, the kingdom of heaven is within? Kingdom of heaven, what is the kingdom of heaven? Peace, harmony, cooperation. Doesn't all your organs operate in harmony with each other? One doesn't try to be stronger than the other and bigger than the other. When we put importance, and we say, oh, isn't that heart? My heart is better than this. This is not my heart. You know? You think your gallbladder is jealous of your heart? I think your gallbladder says, oh, I think I want to be a heart. I think I'll be a heart. No, it says, oh, I'm delighted to be a gallbladder. I'm helping you all the time. No, peace and harmony is inside of you. There's a subtle and powerful difference between feeling from the outcome and thinking toward the outcome. The difference. Please, this is very important. Write this down. There is a subtle and a powerful difference between feeling from the outcome and thinking towards the outcome. What does that mean? Okay. Let's do money. What are you thinking about money? Are you thinking, oh, This is, I'll get this when I have money. I'll get this when I have money. This will happen when I get money. This will happen. See, that's thinking towards the money. You have to sit and know that you already have the money. How does that feel? Oh, my goodness, do I feel good. I can see all that. Oh, my, oh, the bank account's fit. Oh, all the bills are paid. Oh, I can go to dinner. Oh. We have to think from there. Think from there. I use this example a while ago, and it's from what's called the lost mode of prayer. And the lost mode of prayer was taken out of the Bible in the 4th century. The lost mode of prayer is you don't pray for rain. You don't pray for money. Because if you're praying for something, you're saying you don't have it. You have to pray money. You have to pray rain. How do you pray rain? You sit. And you start to feel rain. Does anyone remember how when you were a child, where I grew up in Pennsylvania, we could see the rain coming across the wheat fields? But before it got there, we could smell it. And you knew, oh, rain's coming. And you started to smell it. And then the air would change. It would become cooler. And then the rain would start to fall. And you could hear the little droplets. And then you could splash around in those puddles. If you were barefoot, you could feel, oh, oh, squishy, squishy mud up through your toes and all. That's praying rain. That's praying rain. Pray money. How will I feel? Done with feelings. When I prayed rain, I felt rain. You'll be surprised when it starts to rain. I'll often make it rain. How many people got a phone call? Remember your little exercise last week was to make the phone ring and have the person on the other end? I got mine. I thought it would come Friday. It didn't come until Saturday, but there it was on Saturday. Saturday night at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock. And I knew, oh, that's Brett. Hi, Brett.
What was it? What was it?
If you want to find out how powerful you are, and you want to find out that you live, move, and have your being in the one mind, and that the mind listens to everything that you're saying, that this thing that we call God's mind, or the universe, whatever you want to call it, hears everything and does something for you. Think of somebody that you want to call you, and they will call you. Because there's no such time as time, no such thing as time and space. Everything is done here.
Think or feel?
Think and feel together. Think and feel together. Get that feeling. Get that thinking and feeling going. It's always going to be the head and the heart. It's when the head and the heart relate. Now, you want to prime the pump for something? How are you going to prime the pump? You remember, does anyone know what I mean when I say prime the pump? Years ago, you had to put water down before you could get water to come up. It's called priming the pump. If you want to prime the pump to get a demonstration started, you use your imagination. You have to start to see it. You have to start to build it. You're priming the pump, I say. You must try these things. You must make it work for you. I know Carol, and I know everyone else in here, to manifest a parking space. You do that all the time. And then you don't do anything else. I mean, that's useful. I love doing it. But you have to be able to do more. Remember, God doesn't know the difference between big and small. You can do a parking space, you can do anything. You can do anything. So the only limitation is your thinking, the only limitation is your mind doing it. It's your mind telling you, oh, I can do that, but I can't do this. Or it's buying into what the world tells you. It's already done in mind. It forms a template in mind. Everyone can do this. Get a template. What do I mean by that? Okay. Andy, Holly, August. Get a template of the Barren Wars. Everything that they've ever done is still in mind. You can pick anyone you want. I'm just using that. You can access that. You go out for a roll. Oh, there's John. And you use that too. It's done. You have to get it. You just take it. You just take it. Find a time when real estate was really selling. And reach up and bring that down. Form a template. Everything. So now, how do I know that that's true? I always get this man's name wrong. Bannister. The one who ran the 3-minute mile.
Bannister.
4 minutes. 4 minutes. No one had ever run the 4-minute mile. Soon as he ran the 4-minute mile, everyone ran the 4-minute mile because there was a template already made in mind as soon as he did that, and they were able to use that template. Once something is done, it forms a template, and you can use that template. So find out what you want to do and who did it if you want. Einstein, all that stuff is still there. You just access that. You just access what you want. But you're always rebuilding the wheel. Why would you want to rebuild the wheel? It's been built. You know why? Because you won't get your bloated nothingness out of the way, and you think you have to do it yourself. If I thought I had to do everything myself, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. I know that there's this thing called God out there that's going to see me through the day, that's going to do things for me. And I know that I'm living, moving, and having my being in this mind of God. So when I have a question, I say, well, it's got to be there somewhere. And I bring it in. It's got to be there somewhere. Fine. You think you're having original thoughts? I don't think so, do you? We have the power to rearrange the atoms which make up our world. And that's all you're ever doing, is rearranging the atoms that are already in your world. So if you don't like what you're looking out there, just take those atoms, do that in your imagination. Oh, I don't like that, I'll just say, what would that look like? Oh, I want money, let's see that. Oh, I think that atom goes to there. Because the atoms that are in this little block here, which says no money, are the same atoms that's in this block over here that says money. They're just rearranged differently. So you go, oh, that's, oh my goodness, that's not arranged right. And now you take it and you arrange it. Now, what's going through your minds, people? How do I do that? How do I take that? You use your imagination. Do you think I know the arrangement? No. That doesn't look right to me. I think I'll move it over there to where I want it. Why does that work for me? Because that's the way my universe works, people. That's the rules I made up for my universe, and it has to follow my rules. Now, here's the lovely thing. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm not special. But I am. But I'm not. Schizophrenic. What God has done for others, God can do for you. You can do it. You can do this. Did not the master teacher say you can do this in greater things? You can do this in greater things. Start doing it. I have to tell you that this is a different... I have to tell you this, that there is a different way to think.